I want to touch on a subject that people still find hard to talk about, including me. All right, so I'm no different. But it's mental health. And it is something that, you know, we need to talk more about. We really do, particularly men. We need to, you know, be up there and say, yeah, hang on, I might have a problem. Did you know, for instance, the biggest killer of men under the age of 45, it's not cancer. It's not smoking or drinking. It's suicide. Just think about that for a second. The biggest killer of men under 45 is suicide. A new charity has been formed. They claim it's Scotland's first men's mental health charity, and it's called Brothers in Arms. It's been formed by Dan Proverbs, who says it's a 21st century charity for the 21st century man. And Dan joins us on the line now. Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much indeed for taking the time out to join us. And
not a problem.
I found that quite staggering that young people under the age of 45, and that is a young person, a young man in particular, just wants to give up and just say, to hell, this, I'm getting out of here.
It's pretty, I mean, we are, as men, the biggest danger to ourselves, because, you know, when it comes to mental health issues, very often, as men, and it goes back to that, the stigma, the idea of you've got to man up, you've got to suck it up, you've just got to get on with it. You know, as men, what we tend to do when we have mental health issues very often is our coping strategies or coping mechanisms are what's called risky ones. So we will turn to drink or alcohol, to gambling, anything that stops us from, you know, facing the reality. And unfortunately, very often what happens after that is we take the ultimate coping strategy, which is to take our own life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the problem. I mean, 75% of all suicides in the UK are male. And really, that's why, for me, I wanted, apart from my own mental health issues, was the fact that we didn't have something in Scotland that represented the fact that, you know, the stats are what they are. And you know, for me, we needed to have something, which you get in England. You've got Andy Mann's Club, you've got the Calm Zone, which are for men, that men can feel comfortable going on site, seeing all the information and feeling that they're not alone. Because very often that's the problem, is as men with mental health, we feel that we're the only one that's suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And because we feel we can't talk about it, we suffer in silence. And I think the other thing I have to make clear, because very often when we do an event, and we've done quite a few, is the first people that normally come to us will be maybe Alcoholics Anonymous or something to do with drug support. For me, actually, the biggest audience that I want to get to is what I call the brothers hiding in plain sight, which is everyday man. This could be the guy that you're sitting next to on the underground. It's the guys that look, to all intents and purposes, normal. You know, because very often when you say mental health, people have this picture of somebody holding their head in their hands. But that's not the case. It could be the person, to all intents and purposes, is the loudest and most humorous person.
Mm-hmm.
But, and they can be the one that suffers.
He's struggling. He's struggling.
Yeah.
What about you then? You said, you know, through your own mental health problems. And what did you start with then?
Mine was I had childhood trauma. And that resulted in post-traumatic stress disorder. And very often my coping mechanisms was to use alcohol or drugs or anything to get away from the situation. But at the age of 42, I became a father. And a couple of months previous to that, I'd seriously contemplated taking my own life because I suddenly realized I couldn't run away anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, when my first daughter was born, I eventually, and it still took a long time, managed to get myself to a doctor. And I was that obvious guy, and there'll be other guys out there, you know, we don't go to a doctor. We won't take medication. And then they suggested talking therapy. What, you want me to talk to somebody about this?
Mm-hmm.
However, eventually, over the last 18 years, I've managed to get into a situation where I could talk, you know, use talking therapy and use medication. But I was lucky, you know, a lot of men don't have 10 years or 18 years to get to that point. So really, that was the whole point of the charity and the digital tools that we're launching as well, as a way for men to access some help through their phones or through their laptops, as a way, as a gateway, as it were, to start to learn about their issues and see that they're not alone, and ultimately not take their own lives, because that's what we're about.
That's what you're there
ultimately,
for.
Ultimately, we're there to stop men taking their own lives. It's as simple as that. But it's, how do we stop this? If it's 75% of males are taking their own lives, that's what we've got to focus on.
On you go.
I was going to say, saying that, even though we're for men, we very much need the sisters. We very much, you know, a lot of the support that comes through online, through the community pages, you know, every brother has a mother, and brothers need sisters. So we need the support of the sisters. So even though we're for men, that doesn't exclude the women as well.
In that age group that you're talking about, the under 45s, is the stigma of mental health? I mean, you know, I'm well over the 45, so I come into that bracket that if people in your family had mental health issues, you know, if someone was ill with a heart problem, say, oh, they've got a heart problem. If they had mental health issues, it was, oh, you know, they've got mental health problems.
Yes, you know,
whisper it. Don't tell anyone. Yes. Don't admit to it. Just put them away in a corner and they'll be fine. For that under 45 age group, is that stigma getting, you know, is it lessening? Is that the right word? Is it,
you would, know, yeah, it's a really interesting point, and you would think so, wouldn't you? But however, and I can only go by the messages, the emails that I get from bereaved mothers or bereaved partners. You know, it's, you know, the young guys, and I'm talking maybe 13 upwards, young boys turning into men, are facing a lot of changes that I didn't have, I'm sure you didn't have. I mean, the social media, peer pressure. You've got a rise now in digital technology, artificial intelligence and robotics, which is going to change the landscape of jobs and careers. You know, you no longer have a job for life, or very rarely do you. So they have got a huge amount of additional pressures that as young men, they're having to face up to. And when we say a 21st century charity for a 21st century male, it's exactly that, because, you know, that it is changing drastically and it changes very quickly. So again, I mean, one of the reasons of using apps was a way of connecting to these young guys through their phones. We thought, you know, what's the quickest way we can do this? Well, they use apps all the time. Okay, let's launch an app that they can go to privately, in confidence, without any stigma or judgment, that can be a gateway for them to start to seek help. And actually what I would like the charity to do eventually is actually go into schools and to start to, you know, do a program around emotional resilience and, you know...
Getting in there when they're young.
Yeah, I think we have to. I think it's incumbent on us as a society in Scotland that we have to do that, because... You know, I fear that if we don't, then suicide. I mean, suicide rates in Scotland went up 2016 anyway, compared to the rest of the UK. And I fear that it could get worse if we don't get in there early.
Right. If you have been affected, and you're listening at the moment, if you have been affected by suicide, maybe somebody in the family, or indeed you're listening and you fit into the category here that Dan is talking about, that under 45 who has had these thoughts, give us a call. The number is 0333 2020 401. So what do you hope for this charity? What do you hope to do? You know, obviously you hope to save lives. That's something there, isn't it?
Yeah.
What else?
Well, we've got a couple of projects that we've got in. As I've mentioned, we've got the two apps. One we've already launched, which is the Brother Feel Stress Free app, which is you go onto our main page. It takes you to the download page, and it's free to download. This is the other important thing that I have to make sure clear is anything that we do, you know, we need to put these things out there so they're free for guides. We don't want any barriers. And that app is quite a sophisticated app that is great for stress and anxiety, and it can be used by 13 years upwards. And it uses gaming technology. So, you know, it's a lot game-based as well. So there's that. We're also launching in May Brother Stay Alive app, which is a suicide prevention app. And to coincide with that, we're also launching our first film, which is three men talking about their mental health. And it's a fantastic film. It's been directed by Duncan Cowles, who's a Scottish BAFTA award-winning director. And it's three men, typical Scottish men, and I mean that in a really positive way, talking about their mental health issues, but with all the banter and humour, but also very serious, very honest. And I think it's probably, I mean, because there's very little content out there in Scotland that represents, from the Scottish perspective, men talking about the mental health. So we thought, you know what, we'll do it ourselves. Let's start making our own content.
Yeah. A bit of Scottish humour in it, just
absolutely.
Message over.
And it's fantastic because it's serious, and then it gets to a point, and then the banter kicks in, and there's a humour there as well. So, you know, we're quite excited by that.
Right. Dan, just hang on there for a second.
Yeah, sure.
I've got some calls coming through, and I'd just like to take a couple of them here. Sally's on the line. Sally, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Hi.
Sally. Right, what's your thoughts on this, and what do you want to say?
I just wanted to say, I did want to thank you for giving a voice to this problem. My husband, in April of last year, hanged himself. And the devastation and the impact on my family has been beyond belief. And he never really had mental health issues. He was an ordinary working guy. And he was working right up until the day before this happened. And I just wanted to make people aware that there's not always anything visible that you can see or touch on. He never expressed a wish to kill himself. And as a family, the devastation has been beyond belief. And there is still a stigma attached to suicide.
Very much so, yeah. You found that when you've been saying,
yes.
You know, have
yes.
you found it difficult to say to people, my husband yes. committed suicide?
Yes, I have. And I live in a very small village. And over the past couple of years, there's at least several suicides in this village of young men. My husband was a wee bit older, he was 59, but in this village alone, there has been several suicides of young men, and nobody seems to realise or want to speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
And even I work, so I went back to work, and even my colleagues found it hard. They didn't know what to say to me, how to address it, but I think that Dan's, hopefully his group, if he even saves one life, and saves one family through what I've been through, and my daughter and my son, my grandchildren, it'll be a fantastic thing.
Sally, was there any indication? I mean, I know you said your husband was working up to the day almost.
The day before.
The day before.
The day
was there
off.
any indication to you at all? I mean, did you?
No.
You know, no.
No, he had been unwell, but I mean physically unwell. He
right.
had been diagnosed with a lung disorder, which didn't keep him from working. Some days he felt tired. Some days he would say, I feel a bit fed up. Had loads of friends, great work colleagues. It was his day off, perfectly normal day. We spoke. I spoke to him. I was going out with a friend to theatre. He was telling me, he says, I'll take the dog out, come back and have his tea. My neighbours spoke to him that day and stopped and spoke as they did when he was out with the dog. Came home, obviously, and when I came in later that night, I found him.
Dan, we're talking there about how people have
yeah.
to open up and start talking, but very brave of Sally to come on the radio today.
Absolutely. My heart goes absolutely out to her.
I think... he could have spoke to somebody. I mean, his friends, as a family, the devastation is unbelievable. The guilt and the shame you feel, yeah, because you think, yeah, why did I not see something? Why could he not speak to me and say, I need help? Why did he feel there was nowhere for him to go?
Mm-hmm. The thing is, that story there is absolutely... Yeah. Some, that happens more often than not. You know, yes, guys feel that they can't talk to anybody. No. And more often than not, it, you know... And I've had so many stories sent to me or spoken to people, yeah, and where family and friends had no clue. You know, no, this is this thing of what guys do. We keep it to ourselves, and then we use our ultimate coping strategy, which is to take our own life. And the devastation, because, you know, if you say on average in the UK it's 12 men a day that are taking their lives,
yeah,
actually that's 12 families. 12
That's
mothers,
right,
that
it's
are,
is, and you know, it's beyond it. Just, yeah, families, friends. Yeah. My father, who's 85, was devastated. He couldn't understand. He couldn't fathom why none of us knew there was something wrong.
And
the guilt
alone,
you
could,
feel.
Yeah. You're not alone. I could tell you so many stories. That is a common theme in how men do this. Is they don't talk to anybody.
I did find a support group, a local support group. Good. And I had went along there, and they're the same. I mean, I've heard the stories, and I just think, why do folk not take this seriously? You know, it seems to be the zone, and why do they not encourage, as you say? I think going into schools would be fantastic.
Yeah.
To raise it amongst young men as well.
Sally, we're going to change this. We're going to change it. I know that's, I mean, it hits me hard when I hear, you know, when it's too late. But all we can do is try, and, you know, we've been very proactive. We're putting stuff out there that will help men, you know, and we need the sisters, we need the mothers, we need the partners, we need the wives to help us get there. But we will make a difference.
Sally, can I just say thank you very much indeed for lifting the phone and, you know, giving us a call and telling us your story? Because I think, as I said at the start here, you know, we need to start talking about it, and we're not good at that. We're not good at talking about it.
We're not.
But thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye just now. And Dan, you can stay with us for another few moments, can you?
Surely.
Right.
No problem.
Okay. Right. We've got some more calls.
You could be next on Scotland's Talk-In.
Call 0333 2020 401.
This is Clyde 2.
Somebody said to me in the office the other day, can you really talk about this on a Sunday morning? And I said, why not? And we're talking about it. And Sally felt got the strength to call in there and tell us about her suicide of her husband. And if you have just joined us, good morning. We are talking about the biggest killer of men under the age of 45. It's suicide. And a new charity that's been launched, Brothers in Arms, and the gentleman who's behind it is Dan Proverbs. He says it's a 21st century charity for the 21st century man. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Sunday morning or what time of the day or night it is, we should be talking about it. Dan, would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. The more that we talk about it, the more we challenge the stigma, the more that we bring it into conversation. I mean, you know, you touched upon it earlier. I mean, we're almost at the point where, you know, cancer, we used to call the big C because we were afraid to talk about it. We would mention in whispered terms, it's the big C. And I think we're there with mental health. We, you know, that's specifically men and mental health. And, you know, it's time to change that. We're starting to change it. I have to say, you know, Scotland does have mental health support sites and groups in Scotland. For me, it's having something that's specific to men, that represents men. And also, you know, talking about it, there's enough places out there that are challenging the stigma and trying to start the conversation. I think, you know, for us, it's about doing something, doing the next step. Mm. You know, what is it more proactively that you can do? You know, as a, going back to the apps and creating a film, feels that like we're putting something out there that men can connect to, and I think that's very, very important. Talking is important about. It's very important.
If we also, do you not think, Diane, if we become more open about this, then yep. the health authorities will be actually forced to tackle it a bit heavier than they actually do, because we it's all right saying, you know, yes, there are places that you can go, the health authorities will look after you, but when a young man is, yeah. and I know this from, you know, circumstances that a friend fell into. A young man needing help where everybody agrees he should be put into a unit to help him recover. And yeah. then, you know, the mental health staff find, you know, they work on the next, sometimes yeah. a full day just looking for a place for, yep. for this person, because there are not enough places, and a place is being offered, you know, miles, hundreds of miles yep. away. That is wrong.
That is wrong and frustrating. And you know what? I totally get that. I mean, one of our ambassadors, Reese, who I remember, he was sectioned, you know, in one of those places that you're talking about. And I remember going there because I thought, Dan, you can't do all of this or talk about this if you're not going to step up. And I remember going to visit him in this place. And, you know, just to be clear, these people that work there are doing an amazing job in very frustrating circumstances. And it was very challenging to go in and see it. And I thought, my God, we need to be doing something. We need to be doing more than this, because this is at the end. You know, you're in a really desperate situation when you're sectioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be getting in there beforehand. You know, going into the schools, starting to teach specific, you know, especially younger guys, because ultimately it's about how we as men deal with our mental health, which ultimately leads us to taking our own lives. We need to get in there and start to say, look, there is ways that we can, you know, there's things and support and digital tools and, you know, peer-to-peer support groups that we can do, and start to teach them. And I think it's incumbent upon us as a society to do that. You know, we're Scotland. We're a sophisticated society.
Yes.
We should be able to do this. And, you know, and look, the GPs, what do they, you know, they're under enough pressure as it is. I mean, you'll get, you know, for a man to go to the doctor in the first place, that's a whole journey in itself. For him to talk about his mental health,
yeah,
you know, you're only going to be given 10 minutes.
You know, it's like the clock is on you. Yeah.
Yeah, so we need to be putting stuff in before that.
Right.
Before they get to that point.
Let's go back on the phones. Kim's here. Hello, Kim.
Morning.
Morning. Your point, please.
My point, first of all, I'd like to say I'm so glad you're talking about this on a Sunday morning, and I think we should be talking about it every morning of the week.
Thank you.
The more we're talking about it, you know, we are attacking the stigma. We're giving people the message that it's okay to talk about it. I'm with a charity in Wishaw. We're called Chris's House, and it was founded by Anne Rowan, who very sadly lost her son to suicide. And Anne wanted a safe place for people to come when they're feeling suicidal or in crisis. And we've been on the go now since about August 2015. And it's all about encouraging people to talk about their mental health.
Right.
All about talking. It's all about non-judgment and compassion. And at that crisis point, people need compassion. They need it immediately. They need it for as long as they need it. And that is, sadly, where the NHS model is just not equipped. You know, as Dan was saying, people in every hospital in every city are doing a fabulous job, but they're restrained. They're absolutely, their hands are tied to give people in crisis what they need when they need it. So, you know, saying to somebody, come back in 3 weeks and we'll see you. No, not good enough.
It's not, isn't it? Because it's that goodness knows what can happen in the next 24 hours, never mind 3 weeks.
And that's what we're about at Chris's House. We man the phones, we man our Facebook page. We respond within an hour. We see people often the same day. And it's that, creating that place of safety, that feeling of safety, and even that feeling of hope. that saves lives. That's what we're doing, and it's what we need. And what Dan's talking about is spreading the word, getting, you know, the word out there, getting more people to talk, and yes, more men.
So do you think then, Kim, from your experience, do you think that Dan's charity, Brothers in Arms, is to be welcomed?
Fabulous, absolutely. Welcomed with open arms, absolutely. The more that we're all doing together, the better. I'd love to invite Dan to come up to Christmas House and see what we do there. You know, that there's probably connections there that we can work on things together, but the more people that are talking about it, the better.
Dan?
Funny enough, Anne sent me an email last week. So we are I'm going to go across and visit. So yes, you know, coincidentally. Yes, I mean, you know, Christmas House have been ahead of the game, you know, absolutely. But again, it's this, they are very much treating people that are in crisis. You know, again, I go back to how do we get in there before they reach that crisis point? And I think the other thing as well, and I know I keep banging on about the digital tools, but also we've got remote parts of Scotland, you know, the Highlands, Stornoway, you know, pretty much suicide rates are high there, you know, no access to help very often. So, I mean, we've had downloads of the app in Stornoway. We've actually had downloads on North Sea oil rigs. So for me, that's the other important thing is reaching out to, you know, with the digital tools, we can reach every part of Scotland very quickly. As long as it's got Wi-Fi, they can download the tools, the apps, and then they, you know, they're there as a tool to help, as a gateway, but it's a start. And if you're...
That's the thing most men, in our experience, they struggle to know where to start. But once they start, you know, we've had over 500 guests in about a year and a half. You know, thank the heavens we haven't lost anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But when people start talking, you know, there are solutions.
Yeah. And finding someone to talk to is obviously the important thing, Dan. Kim, thank you very much indeed for your call. It's excellent to get that feedback there. Thank you. Thanks, Kim. We've got another call coming through, I think. It's Stephen. Stephen, hi.
Hello, Ali. Hello, yes.
What's your thoughts here, Stephen?
Well, I've had depression for 15 years now, and I'm actually one of the historic abuse victims. I've been in the news recently for a while now, and as your gentleman was saying on the show, there's a lot of stigma attached to depression and mental health, and I've experienced that from my own family. I have three brothers, and they turned their back on me, and it's very hard to deal with every day, and it is important to speak to people, and I deal with a very good organisation called Wellbeing Scotland in Falkirk, and the person that runs it, Janine Rennie, has been a good help and support to me for over 10 years now. And it's very, very hard living this on a daily basis. It doesn't just affect yourself, it affects your whole family.
Well, that seems to be what's coming through this morning, certainly, Stephen. You know that it is the family that feel it as well. I mean, have you always felt that there's something there or there's someone there to speak to? Or have you felt at times just totally isolated?
I do feel where we live down here in Sinra, it is pretty isolated. And this organisation in Falkirk, you know, I can phone Janine anytime I want to, and she's been very good. Other times I've no one to talk to about it, and I'm left on my own. I don't get much of staying most days, and it does feel very isolated at times.
If you're staying in most days, the loneliness must get to you as well.
It's loneliness, and you've got all these memories in your head of what happened. See, I was brought up in a big children's home in the 60s, and I lost up and on, and I didn't have my breakdown until 2003 when it all came back to me.
Not good memories.
And I've got to live with these memories every day in my head. And it is important to talk to you. As your guest on the programme did say, you've got to speak to someone, try even your own GP. I know you might only get 10 minutes with your GP, but my GP down here has been very helpful and supportive, and he will give me double appointments if I ask for it.
Right. And Stephen, have you got to the stage that you've had suicidal thoughts?
I've actually attempted suicide about a dozen times now.
Really?
And I tried to kill myself with a hosepipe as well, and somebody found me and I got taken to the hospital. And I was that desperate. I was just in the car crying, didn't want to go in anymore. I had a hose pipe and it was starting to affect, and somebody found me.
Right, Dan, another sad story that there is a need.
Oh, yeah, and I think I want to reiterate that, you know, it's the brothers hiding in plain sight. That's who we want to reach out to. It's the guys that, you know, as I said before, look to all intents and purposes, for want of a better word, as normal. You know, they're the ones that I'm concerned with the most, because it's how we reach out to them. It's how we say to them, look, you're not alone. You know, you're okay. There is support out there for you. You know, don't take it on yourself and to take the ultimate way out. There is help out there for you. And for me, you know, Brothers in Arms is about providing something that they can, you know, go on to feel that they're not alone through the use of the app, so they can use that in private. I mean, you know, the stress-free one looks like a game. So you could be on a train with your headphones in, using it, and no one would know that it's there to help, you know, start your journey to deal with mental health. So for me, that's where we come from. You know, once they get into crisis, I want to get in there beforehand. We need to get there beforehand. You know, prevention is better than cure, you know, for sure. And you know, by going to the younger guys, because let's emphasize, it's the single biggest killer of men under the age of 45. You know, it's how we reach out to specifically those younger boys turning into men that we've, you know, the sooner we get there through emotional resilience so that they can deal with all the changes that are ahead of them, then they'll be able to cope better and not take the ultimate way out. Mm-hmm.
Stephen, thank you very much indeed for coming on and telling us your story. Finally, Dan, how do people get in touch? What's the website? How do they... You know...
Right, the website is brothersinarmsscotland.co.uk. You can email me at dan@brothersinarmsscotland.co.uk. And we've got a Brothers in Arms Facebook page, community page. You can message, join, get involved. And the more, we're getting volunteers. Because we're volunteer based. Mm-hmm. So any funds that we raise goes direct. We've got very low infrastructure, very low cost base. It means that any of the funds that we raise goes directly to the projects that we've got ongoing. You know, we've got a core of about 15 ambassadors who absolutely get involved with fundraising. The last fundraiser we did raised £6,000, which is going towards the suicide prevention app. So, you know,
so a lot going behind it.
A lot going on.
Yeah, great. Dan, I have to stop you there because I am running out of time, but thank you very much. Not at all. Thank you very much indeed for coming on and talking about it and getting Brothers in Arms out to the public. And no doubt we'll follow this up in the weeks to come. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye. One more call I think we can squeeze in. David.
Hi, Ollie. How you doing?
I'm not bad, sir. Thank you. Your point, please.
Yes, it's to do with this mental health issue that everybody's talking about today. I mean, I've suffered from mental health problems for a lot of years, and once or twice I've been very close to suicide myself. You know, I've seen psychology in the past, and I've actually had to move away from a town where it was making me to the point where I was going to be committing suicide. It was that bad.
Right.
And, but since I've moved up to this new town, you know, things have changed, but, you know, I'm actually a carer for my wife full time, you know, and I've got days that I just don't want to be here.
You just feel so low.
You know, I don't know if I should be saying this on air, but, you know, I challenged, you know, mental health team out in Morayshire to try and help me because, you know, I just feel like that there's nothing out there for people like myself, you know, who have to struggle on from day to day, you know, thinking about suicidal tendencies and be a carer, you know, and expect to stick it on with it. You know, it's appalling the way we're left to get on with it, you know?
So you're just not getting the help?
Well, no, since I moved up here 6 months ago, I saw a psychiatrist for two sessions, and he put me in touch with somebody else within his team. He came round to my house for half an hour and listened to me, and that was it. There's nothing else been done. So I'm still really left in the lurch, if you like, you know, as to what to do, you know.
Well, if you can, and I'm sorry, we have really run out of time, and I apologise for bringing it to an end there, David. But if you can, get a chance to log on to Brothers in Arms